Good morning. This is Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who've been called to various types of ministries in their churches and in their communities. Today, we're here with Reverend Lewis Davis, who is associate pastor at Crossville First United Methodist Church. Crossville will worship on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. You have a choice of services. And then starting on February 5th, their Wednesday night programming will begin again. You'll enjoy a delicious dinner at 5 o'clock with classes for all ages starting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights. We want to invite you to come enjoy and participate in the ministries happening at Crossville First United Methodist.
Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Lewis Davis, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. This is great.
I'm so glad you're here. For our listeners, Lewis was one of my mentors as I came through the clergy process, and I just love this guy. He is the body of Christ walking around Middle Tennessee. And Lewis, as I was thinking about your life and how you experience Christ, I'm intrigued by what you must have been like as a little boy. So if you had, he's giggling.
Yes.
If you had to describe your life as a child in one word, how would you describe yourself?
Wow, that's a great question. I guess the first word that comes to my mind is normal.
Normal.
And nothing out of the ordinary, you know.
Fun loving,
you know, hopefully. had a great childhood and great upbringing, so.
Now, Lewis has a large family.
Now I do, right?
You do? How many children do you have?
We have 7 girls, my wife and I. We 16 to 2. So.
That's wonderful. And when you were growing up, what was your family like then?
Well, it was my mom and dad and my brother and I. So it was just the 4 of us, and so it was kind of a little different for sure.
Are you the eldest?
Yes. Yeah.
So did you play tricks on your little brother growing up?
Well, that was a neat thing because, you know, I learned, you know, I guess, and I saw that other points in life with friends stuff, you know, I would kick them under the table, and then my brother, of course, would hit me out in front. He would be the one getting in trouble.
Yes.
And so they never saw the, you know, then they, of course, picked up on it, but it was pretty fun.
Brothers.
That's right.
Brothers. Such joy growing up.
Yeah.
What did you do as a kid? Did you play basketball, or were you into sports or music?
Well, I tell everybody that I was always picked first for basketball teams and football teams, especially just playing out in the yard or in the schoolyard or something. But that only happened once because then they saw how I played.
But you're tall.
I was tall and pretty big for my age. And so, you know, they just thought I naturally had the ability, which I absolutely do not.
That's funny, though.
So music became part of, you know, I was in the choirs. And I remember growing up that I wanted to play the trumpet or trombone, or I think even a tuba was on my list, but I just got off of braces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Somebody told my mom, well, if he plays long enough, his teeth will, you know, because of the blowing through the mouth and everything, my teeth will go kind of crazy. So drums it was.
Hey, drums. So, that's great. Do you still play drums?
Well, not a whole lot. I was in the marching band, but didn't go much past high school on that. So.
Yeah. Well, you're living in a house with all women.
Yes.
Do you ever feel outnumbered?
Yeah, just about every day.
So what's the hardest thing about living in a house with all women?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't know what the hardest thing would be.
Do you ever get the bathroom?
Well, I mean, when everybody goes to bed, you know, so.
Yeah,
I have to
great.
Wait my turn till midnight or so.
Yeah,
but
with 7 girls, buddy, yeah. You're just going to have to wait your turn.
Exactly. So I guess that would probably be one of the hardest things. Just,
that's great.
Get everybody in there and out.
I can't imagine being a daddy with all those beautiful girls.
Oh, yes.
How do you, what would be your favorite part of being a daddy of all those beautiful, sweet little girls? There's a very special relationship mm-hmm. between a daddy and a little girl.
Right. I think, you know, especially when I come home, you know, even older ones still, they'll all kind of come running, you know.
Daddy, daddy.
And so, you know, that's still pretty, you know, that's just an amazing, even if I wasn't having the greatest day or, you know, just down for some, you know, whatever reason, you know, all of a sudden, at least in that moment, it makes it all worth it for sure. Can keep going.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah. Large families. Family is so important.
Oh, yes.
And all of your girls will always have at least one best friend in their sibling group.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's important. It's very important. Well, Lewis, we're interested in your life and your calling. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about what your experience was being called into ministry.
All right. Sounds great.
I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Dana Hornby. We're back with The Calling, and today our guest is Pastor Lewis Davis. He's the associate pastor at Crossville First United Methodist Church. They want to invite you to join them on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11. And starting February 5th, they'll begin with dinners on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock with classes for all ages. Starting after that at 6 o'clock. And Lewis, we were hearing about your beautiful family, your sweet girls, and a little bit about how you grew up. How did you begin to feel a call into ministry?
Well, that's definitely a question I think about a lot, you know, just for my own life. It's hard to describe, you know, exactly why or how. Because I grew up, and even today, you know, just definitely more, if I have to put a label, you know, definitely more introverted. When I was growing up, I mean, even though I liked being, you know, having friends and everything, I just never imagined myself being up front and leading or speaking or anything like that. And so, but it was just amazing. It was, I was walking through halls of high school one day, well, the interesting story part is that, you know, the girlfriend at the time, she asked me, so, well, what's wrong with you today? You just seem off. And these words came out of my mouth. I didn't realize we're in there. And the words were, I think God's calling me in the ministry. Needless to say, she didn't stay my girlfriend very much longer. those words just were strange, you know, because I was like, wait a minute, why? Why me? And that night we had a revival at our church, and again, the pastor spoke, and I don't remember what he spoke about, but I just remember being moved when he invited to come forward. And my pastor knelt with me and says, what can I pray with you about? And those words came out again. I think God's calling me into ministry. And at the time, you know, he asked an interesting question. He said, what kind? I was like, what do you mean, what kind?
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, I was like, I thought it was just one. And so the obvious one to me at the time was music, just because, not that I was great at it, but I enjoyed it. And so I didn't know, because I thought, well, no, surely not preaching. To make a long story short, I remember going to my grandpa's final sermon of his second retirement. And
so your grandpa was a pastor?
Right, yes. He was a pastor. It wasn't because of that, but all of a sudden, when towards the end of his sermon, I just felt this strong call on my, or, you know, leading in my heart saying, that's what I want you to do. And, you know, and so that's when I kind of made the statement that wanted to be a pastor, and, you know, and so started going towards that. So.
As a pastor, you have a lot of different hats that you wear. Mm-hmm. Is there one that you think fits you better?
Well, right now, the role I feel at the First Methodist there in Crossville is, you know, is for pastoral care. And so, you know, I just love being with the people. And, you know, sometimes I'd be at a football game on a Friday night, or, you know, golf course during the day, or out in the woods somewhere with somebody, or, you know, even we've got several quilters, and they don't let me do anything, but at least I can sit with them.
Oh, that's nice. You know? Wow.
So it's like, that to me is fulfilling, is when you get to be with the folks and yeah, you know, be a part of their life. So.
Share the joys of life, right, and be there to help them through the hard times.
Right. And yeah, that's the amazing part is, you know, through it all. I mean, that's kind of amazing.
It's a holy honor to walk through those hard times with someone. It's an opportunity for ministry, isn't it?
Yes, very much so.
Now, I'm interested in what's happening at Crossville First United Methodist Church. You're doing some life journals. Mm. Is that right?
Well, I'm sure some others are. There's not an organized effort right now. It was more of a spiritual discipline, I guess, for me, to to kind of be a part of. I've tried them, you know, from time to time. And
so what would that entail, a life journal?
Well, it's Wayne Cadero. He's out. My mind just went blank. But it's lifejournal.com. But he does that. And so you read through the Bible in a year. And really, you read through the Old Testament once, New Testament twice. But every day is, you know, because I'd get burned out if it was, you know, all, you know, just read as much as he can or all these chapters. But it's three or four chapters at the most a day. And the idea, the acronym SOAP, the idea is you take a scripture. So you read those three chapters a day. You're praying for at least one scripture, or just one verse to jump out at you that God is really speaking you to. And so you kind of write that down. What is that verse? And then your observation, you know, what's going on in that passage? So you just write a few sentences about that. They don't have to be very long. You know, here's what's happening. And then A is, how do you apply it? How do you apply it to your life? And so again, it's not a long drawn out, you know, have to write it all out or anything, but just something that from that word, that one verse, that, you know, how you can apply it to your life. And then prayer, you know, write a prayer that, you know, just saying, well, help me to do this, Lord, in my life. And then some have added to that, and, you know, you can write down something that, like somebody put soapy with a Y, like, what do I have to yield in my life for this to happen?
Oh, wow.
And so it's kind of interesting how it is, but it is a, you know, just a one of the many disciplines or, you know, avenues, if you, you know, wanting to get into the word. It's not very much every day, but, so that's kind of what I've been trying to do, push myself for sure.
When you talk about prayer, is prayer just talking to God?
I think so, yeah. For me, it's just, you know, like we're having now, a conversation.
So everybody can do it.
Mm-hmm, yes, very much so.
Doesn't have to be a formal prayer.
Right, no, it don't have to be a formal prayer. I think, you know, and I've been with folks that, you know, you got to get down on your knees and bow your head, or, you know, there's certain ways they felt like you had to. But to me, I think, you know, God desires that relationship with us. And so, you know, I think he wants a conversation. And even though he knows what's on our hearts, you know, that's the amazing thing. But he still desires that, I think. And so
pray, driving down the street, listening to the radio.
I mean, there's what they call breath prayers, you know, just to, thank you, Lord, you know, just something simple. You know, I think we have a good tendency, or maybe it's not a great tendency, to make simple things hard.
Yeah.
And so,
but it's easy, just opening ourselves to God.
That's right.
Being in relationship. I'm Dana Horme. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back with more from Reverend Lee Sagas. You're listening to The Calling. I'm Dana Hornby, and we're back today with Reverend Lewis Davis, who's the associate pastor at Crossville First United Methodist Church. And Lewis would like to share a motivational moment with us.
Well, one of the things that kind of been on my heart, you know, when we're trying to relate to Scripture, or where's our part in the story, when you mentioned about me coming and, you know, maybe having a devotion thought, Luke 15 kept coming to my mind, you know, I guess what some might call the lost and found chapter. And in particular, the story of what's been known as the prodigal son. But, you know, I grew up in what I would consider pretty normal, normal for me, nothing out of the ordinary too much. You know, my mom and dad worked as hard as they could and did the best they could for us. And you know, I would say on the most part, never strayed too far. none of us, I guess, strays too far. But anyway, but, you know, I didn't ask my dad, you know, for my share and then go out into the world. You know, I just always did what, you know, good or bad, I did what I thought was right. I did what I thought everyone else thought I should do sometimes, you know, in which that could be a whole nother segment, I guess. But I kept finding my place in the Luke 15 story there with about the two sons there. I've always found myself as the older. And if you know that may not know that story, but, you know, the younger son squanders all his father's property and you know, his inheritance and on the ways of the world, and finally comes to himself and realizes he messed up and realized he, you know, wanted to come home and at the very least work as a hired servant, because at least they got food and he was really hungry. And so they came back and he practiced a speech. I just love that, you know, and the father didn't even give him an opportunity to finish it. He was already loving on him. He's already putting the best stuff on him, the best, you know, coat and, you know, putting a ring on his finger and starting to throw this celebration party. And the one, you know, you think this is a great story. You know, I love stories that, you know, make you happy, make you sad, make you angry, cry, everything all in one. And this was, I think this is one of those stories, but not everyone's, of course, happy in that reunion. The older brother out in the field really had a tough time, you know, with that, because he's like, well, wait a minute, I've been here all along. I didn't do any of this stuff. And I've kind of found myself at times saying the same thing, you know, that, well, doggone, I didn't go out in the world. I didn't do this or do that. And, you know, and I remember in college one time, you know, here I was a student pastor, and so many times we'd try to start a Bible study, and it would go for maybe a little while, wouldn't have a whole lot of people. You know, and this one guy in choir, he was a good friend, but he lived a different, he was on the party scene. And, you know, almost every night, it seemed like, definitely every weekend, you know. And then doggone it, one day, he found Jesus, and his life totally changed. And but where he was at, and, you know, the kind of, just his personality, I don't know if his personality or just all of a sudden his, of course, his love for the Lord just how it changed his life. All of a sudden he was able to get Bible studies growing. I mean, and, you know, he started teaching and started witnessing, and folks were coming to the Lord there on the campus, and these huge Bible studies were taking place. And I remember even being, you know, seeing this, he got together this huge revival on campus, and it's just, it was amazing. And, you know, as awesome as that is, I remember, and this is, I was so ashamed about it, I was almost mad, because I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, I've done all this for you, Lord, and how does this guy, you know, just who is out in the world able to do this, you know, and there's my spot. And so I just wanted to share, you know, wherever we're at in that story, that we realize what is ours. And as we mentioned earlier about prayer, I mean, God desires that relationship with us. All that he has is ours. We are a part of that. You know, that we just continue on living in that grace and being able to share that as much as we can, and, you know, be joyful as other stories in that chapter talk about, be joyful when one person's found, when one, you know, when one opportunity changes. And, you know, so it's to me, it's a powerful story. It speaks to a lot of folks for sure. So I pray that might, you know, maybe hopefully encourage someone along the way, wherever they're at in that story, and just knowing that no matter what, we do have a God who loves us so, so much. So that's I think that's what's been on my heart here.
Thank you. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Dana Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling. We're back today with Reverend Lewis Davis from Crossville First United Methodist Church. And, Lewis, this is my favorite part of the show, because we get to just chatter about some fun questions, some fun topics. I get to ask you all these crazy questions, and you have to answer them. So
that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. You do get a piece of grace. You get one free pass, or you can plead the fifth,
okay,
whichever you want to do. But let's see. Okay, Pastor Lewis, if you're going to eat fast food, what would be your favorite go-to, maybe to-go order at at the restaurant you would choose?
Well, sometimes I just get a hankering for Taco Bell.
Mm. What do you like at Taco Bell?
Well, those $5, $6 boxes that they have.
Yeah.
But it's always the hardest thing to eat in a van, you know, van or car that if you're going somewhere. So I guess the simplest thing is, you know, get a burger and let's go, you know, Taco Bell's. But
so at Taco Bell, you like a regular taco or a Taco Supreme?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, probably can't hardly beat the regular tacos, but. kind of good stuff.
We just got a Taco Bell in Monterey, man. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're moving up there.
I'll tell you. Mama needs some Nachos Bel Grande. It's great.
So, and for some reason, I've got hooked on that. It's not probably the greatest thing talking about the church, but Diablo sauce.
There you go. Absolutely. Like, well, if you've got a little congestion, the Diablo sauce is like, it's better than Vic Sav.
Clear you out.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. What are the girls like? When you've got a van full of girls and you're going through Taco Bell, what do they want?
Well, you know, sometimes we go, you know, what's easiest, and so, you know, party pack or
right.
almost two
just
party
tacos.
Packs.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to get some that are burritos, some soft tacos, some hard tacos, and,
right.
you know, so it makes
that's
it pretty
fun.
Easy to just pass it out. That's right.
Yeah, that's fun. Okay, let's see, Lewis. Tell me what you think the difference is between being wise and being well learned, informed.
Oh, wow. Right. I think there's definitely a you're talking about like common sense versus book smarts or
wisdom.
Yeah, I think you know there's a definitely a lot to say about both. I don't want to take the middle road on that. You know, but I've always tried to push myself trying to learn, even though I may not be the greatest student ever, but I've always enjoyed it, you know, but I can see, you know, there's definitely times where it's just, you don't really, it's just, I don't want to say just common sense, but I guess it is, you know, this on certain things that, you know, I try to do, or, you know, it's like, I know that's not smart to do, or, you know, maybe I can figure this out, you know, whatever problem it is. And so I don't know. I'm sure I didn't answer it very well, but.
What's the last thing you did that wasn't smart to do?
Oh, my goodness. I may have to pass on that one.
You're going to take the fifth on that one?
Well, you know, it's I generally try to – I generally believe, that I can – you know, well, just every now and then just something will come out that I probably shouldn't, you know, maybe just getting upset at somebody that, you know, and try not to show it, but, you know, someone say, well, what's wrong with you, you know? And
mm-hmm. A sharp word.
Yeah, I try not to go too crazy sometimes, but it's like it does happen when it's just, you know, just get aggravated and
sure.
So
oh, it
allow that to
everybody.
Come out. Yeah, you know.
It's just being human, I think.
Right,
right.
Right.
What do you think about when you're alone in your car?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, definitely just what about the scenery, you know, whatever was going on. I think sometimes I get caught up just thinking about, you know, maybe a situation that I had. Like, that's probably definitely a fault of mine where I might think too heavily on something I've done or said that, like, okay, I probably just need to let that go.
Overthinking?
Know, overthinking very much.
One of the things I do best, man.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, don't take that away from me. But, you know, and the bad thing is I'll have conversations with folks in my mind that I'll get.
That you would never have.
That I would never have, right. And so, you know, and I would love to say, and it probably should have been one of my first is, you know, to pray, you know, just like we were talking earlier, just have that conversation. But
yeah,
oh God, that probably wasn't the first thing I said. So.
You know, I can always think of the best comeback, like 5 minutes after the conversation.
Oh, exactly. Right.
My brain's just not that quick, though, during the actual conversation.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. If you could have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Well, I guess they're probably, I don't know. Huh. I mean, I would say, you know, wouldn't money be nice? You know, we wouldn't have to worry about it, or family be taken care of. We'd be able to help others. You know, of course, I don't know if time's a great answer either.
That's a big one, though. It's a conundrum, isn't
that's
it?
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's a great, great thought-provoking question right there.
Okay, last question.
Uh-oh.
What is your most used emoji?
Well, I would think, I probably don't use a whole lot of them, but the one with the two hearts and eyes, you know, send to the girls or something, or definitely the praying hands one, you know, and, you know, so sometimes we'll... you know, I got a group on my phone called My Girls, and it goes to the girls that have our, you know, that has a iPod or something, or, you know, that can get the iMessage. And then, of course, my wife. And so we'll sometimes get in and send in different emojis. And so it's usually the one with a, or the one blowing a kiss or something, you know. So
that's sweet. Yeah. Your girls. I love that.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're a blessing for sure.
That's awesome. Say hello to your girls before we close the show.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say hi to what we call the A-Team, Abigail, Anna, Eliza, Adeline, Olivia, Amelia, and Ansley.
Beautiful.
And so they're
their sweet Mama Mary.
And their sweet Mama Mary. That's right. So they're all such a huge blessing and, you know, a big part of, you know, probably the next time I come, I probably just need to talk about them, too, because, you know, I can't imagine me doing what I'm doing without them and their faith and their service and their talents. And so it's definitely a team effort.
They are the A-Team.
That's right.
The A-Team. I'm Dana Hornby. You've been listening to The Calling with our guest this week, the Reverend Lewis Davis from Crossville First United Methodist Church. And we want to remind you to join them on Sundays at 8:30 and 11, and then on Wednesdays beginning February 5th. At 5 o'clock for dinner and 6 o'clock for activities and programs.
Oh.
Thank you, Lewis, for joining me and discussing your years in ministry as you follow your calling. Each week, we will introduce you to members of the community who have followed their call to serve. I'm Dana Hornby, and this has been The Calling.